Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Leave your contact info today at 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, the issue today is really, could really be boiled down to this. What is a Christian? Who is a Christian? How do you identify a Christian? Had one of our sons recently, as we were talking about something similar to this, he said, and it's a quote that had been around for a number of years, he said, if you're charged, criminally charged, for being a Christian, when you get to court, will there be enough evidence of your Christianity to convict you? It's a pretty good thought. And today we have a multitude of those that are claiming to be saved, making all kinds of, how would you say, willy-nilly, if I can use that term, statements in relationship to why they're going to vote or why they're not going to vote in this election. And some that say they're going to vote, but vote for the wrong candidate. And I say the wrong candidate. I don't mind saying it's an impossibility, and I'll say it further than this broadcast, impossibility for a Christian to vote for Kamala Harris and her policies and where she stands. It's an impossibility. It is simply antithetical to what would be called truth. I'm looking at an article that says the study found that approximately 104 million, listen, 104 million people under the People of Faith umbrella are not expected to vote in this election, including 41 million born-again Christians and 32 million regular churchgoers who claim to be Christians. Now, I'll let that soak in for a while. Are you a Christian? How are you going to vote? A Christian's Christianity is exposed in what he says, what he does, where he goes, how he acts, and how he reacts. And literally, I can say, Dr. Davis, how he votes. I believe that a Christian is going to vote biblical values and cannot, there's no exception for it. He's going to vote biblical values.
Well, you know, Dr. Youngblood, here's the problem with that. And, you know, the conversation that I've had with confessing Christians over the past few weeks is that, and here's the concept that I'm getting from the conversations. They're caught up in wishful thinking. They're looking for Christians in those political offices that are probably not Christians.
Many of them.
Now, we have to understand we're not voting for Christ. Again, going back to what you said.
That's right.
We're voting for those who have values that are
aligned with the Word of God.
With the Word of God.
Right, absolutely.
But the problem is, getting back to that, they're looking for Christians in those offices, and they're, in some many cases, not there. Now, why is that? It's our fault, because we sit on our hands for too long.
That's right.
And we've allowed unregenerate people to win these elections and get in those positions.
Yes.
Now they're calling shots that we're not comfortable with.
And not calling them accountable for what they're doing in those offices.
Amen.
I'm looking at a headline. It says, Christians who don't vote. This is a statement by a pastor of a so-called mega church. So I'm going to read you the headline. Christians who don't vote are rebelling against God, says a mega church pastor. And he goes on to talk about what is going to take place and what is taking place. And as a result, him saying that he's had a lot of flack coming back at him, and he's exactly right. I believe we have Derby on the line. Derby, go over to your question or comment, please.
Yes, I'd like to talk about Republicans and Christians. The Republicans. Any Republican who says he's such should say Democrats are communists, period, in plain English. And also that the 2020 elections were stolen. If they cannot say that, they're just godless hypocrites and Republicans in name only. That
I'll
is my opinion.
Yeah. Okay, your opinion is correct on that. Go ahead.
Concerning Christians and religion, I'm addressing your audience, those who listen to you, that if their pastor cannot speak the way that Reverend Youngblood does, then they should change church. My pastor on the north side, he speaks just like you. He's even a couple of years older than you, so he's great.
Amen.
And so, those are my main comments. Let us stop mincing words and calling a spade a spade. And I am tired of people who say they are Christians voting Democrat. You cannot be a Christian and vote Democrat, period.
Absolute. It is an impossible. It's not just a possibility, a fragment of a truth. It is an impossibility. If that person says, I'm a Christian and I'm going to vote for Kamala Harris, he needs to check up to see if he's saved, because a saved person cannot vote for a candidate that's openly going to advocate and continue to push for murder of human beings in the mother's womb. A Christian cannot vote for a candidate that's going to push for the sodomite LGBTQ agenda. A Christian cannot vote for any candidate, Republican or otherwise, Democrat or otherwise, any candidate that's going to stand for the butchering and the mutilation of a human body in order to make a, quote, transition that is going to basically, Derby, when a person says that, believes in that, they're spitting in the face of God. In Genesis 1:27, God said he created two genders, male and female. And yet we have today those that are advocating for 157 different genders with the he, she, and shim, as they would call it, and having to have the right pronouns, et cetera, in today's society. So, Derby, it deserves all of our prayers that God will divinely intervene and will give us the candidate that pleases God, that's going to return us to a fundamental moral, ethical value system in America that I believe honors him. Derby, thank you so much for your input. You call, you're spot on with your analysis of that. And I just simply say, may your tribe increase. Derby, thank you. Keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Will the real Christian please stand up? Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Davis and I are talking about that today because I feel that it is necessary for us to understand what a real Christian is. And a real Christian can't just talk it, they must walk it. In fact, when you look at, Dr. Davis, go to Matthew chapter 7 and look at chapter 7, drop down to about verse 20 and start reading through about verse 23. Matthew 7, 20 through about 23. Start reading there.
Mm-hmm. It says here, wherefore, that's verse 20, by their fruits, that's plural, ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then, verse 23 says, will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Mm-hmm. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
Dr. Davis, I find it so sad. In fact, when I preach that text, I call it the saddest words in the whole Bible. Here are people in the last days, the days of judgment, when standing before the Lord Jesus Christ, and in fact, you can find the corollary to that in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, the great white throne judgment. And the great white throne judgment is not for the Christian, it's for the non-Christian. And at the great white throne judgment, according to Matthew 7, verses 20 and following, those that are lost will stand before the judge of all the universe, the Supreme Court justice of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they'll try to advocate for themselves, talking about their good works and what they've done. In that text, they will say, Lord, Lord. That word Lord is kurios. It means owner, master, controller. So they're saying, owner, master, controller, look at what I've done. Look at what I've done. I've cast out demons. I perform miracles. And if you want the Youngblood paraphrased edition, I've preached great messages. I've sung in great choirs. I've been a soul winner. I've done this. I've done that. I've taught many lessons. I've done this, this, and the other. And Jesus says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The word iniquity is the word for that which is lawlessness. The word iniquity simply means that which is twisted, perverted sin. Jesus says, you are a lawless one. You are living in twisted, perverted sin. I never knew you. That word knew comes from the Greek text epigenosis. Jesus says, I never had a personal first-hand relationship with you. Youngblood, footnote on that. Jesus says, you're lost as a green ball in high weeds. I didn't know you. I've never known you. You didn't get saved and then backslide. I've never known you. You've never said yes to me as Savior and as Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that's a fascinating, very brief article. It says, what is biblical Christianity? Let me just read you two paragraphs. Biblical Christianity relies on the Bible to understand true faith. It is the counter to cultural Christianity, which does not truly adhere to the faith of the Bible. Biblical Christianity bases its doctrine on the Bible alone. Cultural Christianity may be based on family background, personal experience, country of residence, or social environment. What the Bible says becomes secondary, end quote. Cultural Christianity produces nominal believers who label themselves as Christians, but who allow the culture to define their convictions rather than the Bible.
Amen.
Biblical Christianity produces true believers who use God's word to understand salvation and what it means to be a Christian. Then this writer goes on, biblical Christianity adheres to the fundamentals of the Christian faith as is found in the Bible. Listen carefully, and then Dr. Davis and I are going to talk about this. Biblical Christianity is one that believes in the triunity of the Godhead. Some people disagree with the Trinity. It is talking about one God existing in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Biblical Christianity believes that Jesus is 100% God and 100% man. Biblical Christianity believes salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. No additives, no denominationalism, no works. Biblical Christianity believes that there are 66 books in the Bible. They're all God's word. All is inspired, inerrant, and sufficient for living the godly life, this writer says. Jesus Christ is coming again to judge sin and to rule the whole world. Footnote to that, any departure from these points represents a departure from biblical Christianity. So, ladies and gentlemen, do you call yourself a Christian? Are you saved? Do you know that you're saved? How do you know you're saved? When did you become a Christian? Can you identify that in your life? I find it, ladies and gentlemen, antithetical to Christianity today, biblical Christianity, when there's so many fundamental issues of the faith as found in the Scripture that's not being adhered to, not being embraced, not being lived out with so many today. Dr. Davis, what do we say to that cultural Christian that's basing their so-called Christianity on culture, basing their so-called Christianity on the environment, basing on the so-called Christianity on what others may say? Do we find candidates running for office like that today? If so, what should Christians do? How should we vote? What do you say in relation? I know that's a convoluted question, but what do you say?
Well, basically, Dr. Youngblood, what I'm looking at, I mean, and this is the way I understand it, These are worldly Christians when it comes down. I mean, that's the proper definition for them. Mm-hmm. They are worldly Christians. So I want to say to you, come out your corner. You mm-hmm. can't hide. Come out of your corner because you can't hide.
That's right.
Some of them are trying to hide behind the word of God, but you can't hide.
That's right.
Here's what the scripture says. We're going to take this caller. We're going to go down a little bit further into the discussion. The scripture says in 1 John chapter 5, and I'm going to start reading at verse 7 to back up everything you just got finished mm-hmm. saying about Christ Jesus, the Lord, the Spirit, the Word, everything. You got to believe all of these things.
Amen.
This is what scripture says.
Yes.
And I hope that you'll believe this. 1 John 5, 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. They're the Trinity. Mm-hmm. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things, and this is where I want to end up at, this is what the scripture says, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God.
Amen.
So that wraps all of that up that you just got
Amen.
Finished saying.
Absolutely. In a nutshell.
If you haven't arrived there, my friend, come out your corner.
Amen.
You can't hide.
That's right. Amen. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood.
Yes.
Yes. Hello. Yes.
Yes. Go ahead with the question.
Yes. My question is, why would Christians not go and vote? And I don't understand. People see that President Trump, I still call him President Trump.
Amen. He is.
You have been tried to be assassinated, what, three times now?
Right.
And all the stuff they tried to put on him, Russia collusion and all this crap, and it's not true. I'll be honest. I think Obama's still running the White House.
Oh, there's no question about that. Behind the scenes, in fact, recently he made a statement. I cannot quote it verbatim, but made a statement about how he has been able to run the presidency out of his basement. And he knows what he's doing. And I think most of the clear thinkers in America recognize that. But one of the things we find that's taking place, so many today that call themselves Christians and they say that they can vote for Kamala Harris, it's an impossibility. It's antithetical to biblical Christianity. There's so many today in the world that's confused about what biblical Christianity is. I'm looking at an article. It's talking about the biblical Christianity versus cultural Christianity. Said in the days of the early church, there was no such thing as cultural Christians. Believers were in many ways countercultural Christians transformed by Christ's resurrection and the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
They studied the scriptures, Acts 17:11. They were biblical Christians. Mm-hmm. One of the things we have today, Kenneth, is so many that's left the fundamentals of the Word of God, and therefore they're floundering out of the world, and a member of some denomination who think denominationalism is going to save them. And you're getting back to your fundamental question, as so many Christians saying they're not going to vote. It goes back to the responsibility of the under-shepherds. Jesus Christ is the great shepherd, the good shepherd, but the under-shepherd, the pastor of the church, has the responsibility of preaching and teaching the whole counsel of God. And we have preachers today in the pulpits, pastors today, that are frightened to death to preach the truth of the Word of God, to talk about elections, to talk about candidates, to vet the candidates, tell the people, the congregation, what the candidates are, who they are, and how they should vote. That's the shepherd's responsibility. Therefore, as one of the statistical data that I recently found in research is that 17% of the church members today, 17% professing Christians today, say that they would vote if their pastors would tell them about the candidates and how they need to vote. 17% more. And Kenneth, 17% more votes would mean somewhere in the neighborhood, perhaps as many as 100 million people. It would make a vast difference in the number that will vote in this election. So it takes our concern and mandates that we as Christians vote for the candidate that's going to uphold the moral and ethical values of the Scripture. That doesn't mean they've got to be a Christian, but it means they're going to uphold, embrace, and carry out the fundamentals of the faith that we were founded on as a nation. So, Kenneth, thank you so much for your call, your insight. Pardon?
Look here. Like I've heard you say, a lot of pastors do not have spines.
That's right. No backbone.
They do not. None. And I was going to a church. They don't have a backbone. That's my wife and I. We're going to come to your church.
Well, I'm ready. The doors are open. 9:30 on Sunday morning Bible study. 10:30 is the worship service. And I dedicate 1 hour in the pulpit exegeting the Word of God. I don't say that pointing to me in a prideful fashion, but we are expository in our preaching. We have the fundamentals of the faith that are taught, and we have the old gospel music that I believe is God-honoring. So, Kenneth, thank you, brother, for your call. I believe we have Ann on the phone. Go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood?
Yes, ma'am.
I want to remind people of the quote by Edmund Burke, "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing, and by not voting, they are having abortion triumph, and that is the murder of children, millions of children." And people need to think about that when they think about not voting.
Absolutely. And Ann, while you're there, let me read you a headline and get your comments. Franklin Graham says Kamala Harris' policies are anti-Christ, claims that Kamala Harris has no evidence whatsoever of faith in her life. How do you respond to that?
I believe that fully. I mean, just look at what she's done in California and the people that she's prosecuted, you know, like the Breitbart people who went out and did the investigations on what they were doing with babies, aborted babies and body parts. I mean, that poor man is still in jail out there.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. But she, and now one of the things, Ann, that I want our listeners to understand, Kamala Harris, and just about every time that she speaks and there's any questions, she reverts back to the fact that my values have never changed. That being the case, go ahead.
By their fruits we shall know them, right?
Absolutely. That's what the Bible says. And you go back to her values when she was district attorney, go back to her values when she was attorney general, and if she says her values have not changed, that should frighten the socks off every voter as they're listening even now. Because if she has the same values as she does, it's antithetical to anything that's called biblical Christianity or morals and values and ethics that Christians should vote for. So, Annie, it's my prayer that listeners today will make a determination that there's a need, a must, for Christians to vote. Christians can carry this election if Christians would get off their hands and stop being silent and vote. We're to be salt and light. Salt and light in this darkened world, we need to help preserve the decay and to present light to the world as to what we need to do as Christians. And thank you so much for your input, your call. You're spot on with your statements. Thank you for your call. I believe we have Tom on the line. Tom, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, I thank you for your wisdom, and I love what you said about cultural Christians or biblical Christians. I heard the interview with Tucker Carlson and Elon Musk, and I hate to say it, but Elon Musk doesn't have the sense to fill a thimble compared to you, because he Xavier. He's great with business, but
Your phone is cutting out, Tom. Some of it we're not hearing.
Okay, I'll call you back. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, Tom. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, with the real Christian, please stand up. I believe it's time Christians stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, and this election, which is about 15 days away from us, will make the determination of the destiny of America. And so, Dr. Davis, as we talk about it, perhaps somebody say, what does it mean to be a real Christian, a biblical Christian? First of all, you must realize you're lost.
Amen.
You must realize you're lost. The scripture says in Romans 3:23-24 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You must recognize that Jesus Christ is God, come in the flesh, died on the cross, shed his rich red royal blood as the payment for your sins and for mine. Romans 5:8 tells us that. Romans 6:23 tells us that. Thirdly, you must request. You're not saved by osmosis. You're not saved by being a good Baptist. You're not saved by being a good Catholic. You're not saved by being a good Presbyterian or any other ism and schism. You must request the Lord Jesus Christ come into your heart, forgive you of your sins, and save your soul. The Bible is very, very clear, Dr. Davis, in Romans 10:9-10. It says this. The text that is relationship to being saved. It talks about having Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It takes a person that's willing to say, Lord Jesus, I'm lost, forgive me my sins, come into my heart and save me. And once that takes place, ladies and gentlemen, there's the power of the Holy Spirit of God that will give illumination in his word. As we stay in his word, study his word, rely on his word, and allow his word to speak to our hearts. Dr. Davis, got about a minute left on the broadcast. Wrap us up with your thoughts.
Here's what we want. We actually want the Christians to be encouraged today. Those of you that are real, I mean, those of you that know that Christ is real, God is real, the Spirit is real, the Word is real. We want you to be encouraged today, and let us join together.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way. If we don't stand for something, we'll fall for anything.
Right.
So certainly, this is the time that we got to get together. This is what the scripture had to say in 1 John chapter 5, verse number 19 and 20. It says, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. And this is the true God and eternal life.
Amen.
So certainly, we want you to be encouraged today.
Absolutely. And ladies and gentlemen, as a true Christian, we must vote for the one that's most closely aligned with the morals, ethics, and the values of the Word of God. And that certainly is not Kamala Harris. Thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the air in St. Augustine at 91.9.
For centuries, a cord with a lead weight on one end called a plumb line has been used to determine if something is straight and true. For centuries, God's Word has stood as the plumb line for determining if one's life is